due to appear in court today, charged with escaping from Wandsworth Prison. There's been a lot of coverage of that story over the last few days, as I'm sure you understand. The 21-year-old former soldier will appear at Westminster Magistrates Court after 4 days on the run last week. The Met Police said that he had been charged with escaping on the 6th of September while on remand at the prison awaiting trial at the Old Bailey. Contrary to common law, the incident has prompted questions about security at Wandsworth Prison, with Justice Secretary Alex Chalk telling the BBC he has launched investigations into security at the prison.
It's clear that the relevant security protocols were in place. In other words, protocols about the head count that must be made after goods are unloaded from a lorry, for example, about the searches that should take place to a vehicle before it goes through the airlock and leaves. Those protocols were in place. And second, the relevant security staff were in place.
Which raises the question, how on earth did he escape? So that investigation will try and seek those answers. Earlier, I spoke to the Chief Inspector of Prisons, Charlie Taylor.
Well, I've long had concerns, as my predecessors have, about prisons like Wandsworth. And there are many of them all over the country, these big Victorian, magnificent edifices that were built to hold far fewer prisoners than they currently have. The infrastructure is crumbling. Wandsworth was originally built for about 1,000 prisoners. It now holds around something like 1,600. That means lots of prisoners doubled up in cells that were originally designed for one person. Sanitary conditions are pretty poor. The place is crumbling. It's swelteringly hot on the top floors there. If you're down in the basement cells, there are rats. Rats are very common down there. Mm. So it's a fairly chaotic, fairly messy, fairly squalid place. And our worry is if there aren't enough staff to be unlocking people, then levels of violence tend to rise. Prisoners are locked in their cells for long periods of time. And ultimately, that means people aren't getting the help they need to avoid reoffending when they come out.
Well, crucially on that point, joining me now is Helen Beresford, the Director of External Engagement at the social justice charity NACRO, which helps to resettle people with criminal records. Good morning, Helen.
Morning.
Morning. Thank you for coming on to the programme this morning. Just listening to what Charlie Taylor was describing, and perhaps it's no surprise to you, but of course it doesn't paint a very rosy picture when it comes to rehabilitation, does it, within the system?
No, and that's exactly right. What the Chief Inspector of Prisons set out is a really worrying picture of conditions of prisons across the country. That kind of challenge of high numbers of people, you know, levels of overcrowding, unsanitary conditions, and particularly in the Victorian, older Victorian prisons, they just become really challenging for individuals. You know, prisons, one of the fundamental principles of prisons is to focus on rehabilitation, making sure when someone is sentenced to prison, they're going to come out less likely to commit another crime. And that is hugely challenging when the conditions are so poor.
And when you look at a prison like Wandsworth, which is, according to those numbers, operating at about 160% capacity, with staffing levels the way they are as well, describing the picture there, Charlie was saying that prisoners are often then being left in their cells pretty much 22 hours a day. They are lucky to get access to the exercise yard. There's no rehabilitation going on there, is there?
No, and that is a picture that you can see really across the prison estate. You know, COVID had a real impact on prisons, but it isn't just COVID. You know, prisons are seeing real challenges in staffing. But actually, as you say, you know, when there aren't things going on, when there isn't a focus on rehabilitation, when people are locked in cells for up to 22, 23 hours a day, that really isn't focusing on rehabilitation. What we need to see is prisons that you know, are focused on actually the help that people need. You know, getting the skills that people need, you know, being in work. So people are in a kind of normal working day. They're getting the support they need. So many people end up in prison because of factors like substance misuse or mental health problems. You know, getting access to the treatment they need to make sure they don't go on to commit another crime is absolutely crucial.
And that's only going to happen when a prison is functioning correctly. And it certainly doesn't sound like Wandsworth is. I know that they've moved 40 inmates from the prison site. The specific reasons for that we haven't been told of, but the Chief Inspector of Prison said if he could wave a magic wand, he'd move 600 inmates out of Wandsworth. Do you have any specific concerns about that prison particularly?
I mean, I think as the Chief Inspector said, Wandsworth faces a number of particular challenges due to the kind of Victorian building, due to the particular staffing challenges and the levels of unsafety. But it is a picture that we see across the prison estate. It's not an uncommon picture. You know, we see overcrowding in many prisons. We see those kind of high levels of staff absence. We see high levels of violence and self-harm, and those kind of long periods of people being locked up in prison cells. So actually it is a kind of systemic problem across the prison state at the minute, which the government really needs to look at how to tackle. And you know, that it would be great to have that magic wand, but actually what we need to see is a really practical plan from the government of how we improve criminal justice as a whole, and how we make sure, you know, this isn't just about making prisons better just for the sake of it. This is about ensuring that we reduce reoffending, that we protect the public, because most people going into prison will come out of prison. Mm-hmm. And actually, the, you know, one of the main purpose there is to make sure that they come out less likely to reoffend, and that there's a focus on rehabilitation.
And that's where organisations like yours step in, isn't it? So how much harder is your job made by the fact that the prisoner concerned, or the individual concerned who's been released on parole, has now come to you for resettlement in some form or another? How much harder is that job of work made for you by the fact that they've probably not had quite the experience that you would hope whilst they've been in the system?
Well, it's really difficult. And I think, you know, we try and help people at that stage, you know, find somewhere to live, move on to the next stage in their life, get the support that they need. But if they have spent long periods in prison, you know, not able to get the support, not able to access the kind of mental health support, or coming out, you know, with bigger problems than they went in with, which is, you know, we see in many cases, actually, it's incredibly difficult to then get them, you know, on the right track and be able to support their journey back into society. So it impacts on all stages. So prisons are, you know, the state of prisons are incredibly important for the whole journey.
How true is it? Because I'm not sure where the line is between urban myth and reality here, that an inmate is exposed to grooming, is exposed to drugs they might not otherwise have been exposed to during their time in the prison system. And equally then, when they come to you, how much harder is it to work with somebody who's been exposed to that kind of criminal grooming or what have you, or access to drugs that they otherwise wouldn't have done if the system was working properly?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly can see in across the state and in different parts of the prison estate where the challenges of violence, of grooming, of those kind of difficulties of drugs are really playing out. And that is all made a lot more difficult and a lot worse. The conditions for that are made worse when people are kind of locked up and not in kind of, you know, not in work, not in education, not in the kind of things that make a normal day go by, when there's, you know, they're kind of breeding grounds of kind of increase in self-harm, of increase in violence, when you're not actually looking at how to make you know, a normal day for people where they're busy and doing things which are focused on how they can come out and get on with their lives in a productive way. So that makes a real difference. You know, there's kind of locking up often feels like, you know, and it is a result of kind of staffing challenges, etc. But keeping people in cell for such long periods of time has so many knock-on effects, both in the immediate kind of safety and working of a prison, but in the longer term also when people come out.
I mean, if we look at what's going on at the moment at Wandsworth as an opportunity to shine a light on these issues, something I know you've been aware of for a long, long time, Helen, what would be your message to the Prisons Minister and the Justice Secretary at the moment?
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, this is something that we've seen for a long period of time, and the conditions in some situations getting worse. And I think now we really have to look, and the Prisons Minister really has to look at actually what is a real plan of transformation across the justice system and the prison system. You know, this isn't a quick fix. There is no magic wand at the minute, but actually we need to take urgent steps to ensure that we reduce the pressures on each prison, that we absolutely put a relentless focus on rehabilitation and give people the best chance, a second chance on release, and ensure that kind of protection of the public as a result is forefront of mind.
There's got to be it, hasn't it? Because the idea that cutting reoffending rates is based in education, is based in good quality mental health support, and without that, without the presence of that within the prison system, the inevitable is that the reoffending will occur. And I mean, it's not a given, is it? You know, there are some people who go through the prison system and think frankly, I never never want to be there ever again in my life. And, and the sheer deterrent factor alone might be enough for them to change their ways. But actually, if you really want to make a success of it, as I'm sure you would testify, Helen, you've got to include that education. You've got to include that mental health support and ensure that the sort of physical experience of being in prison isn't just so blooming terrifying that they're more likely to end up back there than otherwise.
That's absolutely right. And all the evidence shows that that is the key. So that's absolutely what we would call on the government to focus on, you know, making sure there is a real plan on how we tackle this, how we make sure that our criminal justice system as a whole is effective, that it focuses on reducing reoffending, and that prisons themselves are safe and decent places which focus on rehabilitation.
Helen, thank you. Really interesting talking to you. I'm very grateful for your time. Helen Beresford, their Director of External Engagement at the social justice charity NACRO. But I think it's really